And if you will, please turn to John 6, John chapter 6. That's where we're going to be spending our time. We're going to consider Jesus as the bread of life. And there is a lot in this record we could spend a lot more time with it than we're going to. We're going to do this in one loaf. Sorry about that. But we're going to see in this record, we're going to see the flesh and its tendencies. And we're going to see the love and the patience of Jesus Christ. We're going to see some things regarding who he is as the bread of life. And when you think of bread, you think of something that feeds or something that sustains you. And that is, we're going to see that that is the true of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're also going to see his faithfulness. His faithfulness, once we believe on him, in never, ever, ever letting us go. And sometimes things come up in life where it feels like we've been let go. But he will never let us go. We may let him go, but he will never let us go. And these are some really encouraging things to be aware of, to know. So I want to begin in John chapter 6, and we're going to pick it up in verse 26. And verse 26 reads, Jesus answered them. Now the them here, very briefly, are those who were expecting to see Jesus on the, on the other side of the lake, where he had performed a miracle the day before. That was the record of his feeding the 5,000. And that is also, at the end of that feeding of the 5,000, he sent the 12 away and said, go to the other side. And he went by himself to pray. He needed to get away, in part because they wanted to make him king for this miracle that he had done. And later that night is when he walked on the water and got in the boat with those men. It was actually two miracles. He walked on the water, and it says immediately they were at shore. But those people that were on the other side of the lake didn't see Jesus leave in the middle of the night to walk on the water. And so they went looking for him. They couldn't find him, so they got in boats. So they went over to the other side to Capernaum. And there they looked for him, and here we see they found him. And these are the people that he's speaking to at this point in the record. Jesus answers them, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, because you ate your fill of the loaves. Then he says in verse 27, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Now there's a great truth in what he's saying. They don't quite see it at this point. But he says to work not for the food that perishes, for the temporary. And it's not just working for or seeking. is placing an emphasis on. It's what is important. It is what I gauge my success as, or even my believing. See, on things right now, in the here and now. This isn't unlike something he said in the Sermon on the Mount, which was, seek ye first. Remember? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will what? Be added unto you. See? Why take thought? Why do you put your efforts? Why do you put all your eggs in this basket and make this the priority? That's what he's teaching. You're seeking me to get another meal. I'm a lot more than another meal. That's where this is going to go. A lot more than another meal. See? And the reason why it's important to see is because this is our flesh. I mean, we look at these guys and we think, oh man, what a bunch of clowns. Well, the truth is, we're a bunch of clowns. We've all been here. We are all here at times now, where we put things in the here and now and place more importance on that than life eternal. Even though we're told time after 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 time by Jesus Christ, by God, we have example after 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 example in God's Word, and yet we fret about right now. Anybody else ever done that? Let's see. And so it's a great truth that's being taught here, and it's something that we all need to learn and relearn. Because of the flesh. You know, I was thinking as I was reading this, you know, there are different places in the Word. Ephesians 6, we fight not against what? Against flesh and blood. See, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. It's all true. It's all true. You know, we fight against these things, or we stand against the wiles of the adversary. We stand against these things. But you know what the Word of God says about the flesh? Kill it. It's no fighting it. There's no wrestle match here. There's no standing against it. It's kill it. And the simple truth there is the flesh is that's our worst enemy. Your worst enemy ultimately is you. See? And it's the bread of life that gives us what we need to overcome me. See? So, work not for the food that perishes. But for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. This setting his seal, it is, in this culture, the meaning here is that Jesus was sent by God. This will come up a number of times in this record. Sent from heaven, or came down from heaven, meaning sent from God, a gift from God. And being sent from God, he would work, he would speak on behalf of God. See? Then it says in verse 28, then they said to him, what must we be doing? What must we do to be doing the works of God? And then Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him in whom he has sent." See? And right here really is the essence of the gospel, is to believe in him whom he has sent. It's to believe on Jesus Christ. In their question, what must we do the works of God? It is a revealing again of the flesh. Because the flesh wants to work. The flesh has difficulty accepting grace. Has difficulty accepting all that God is offering as a gift, simply by believing on Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? So it says then in verse 30, "So they said to him, 'Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?'" Love these guys. Verse 31, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Okay, so we're just for a moment, in these two verses, you know, what sign do you do that we may see and believe? They are insinuating, number one, that what Moses did was far greater than what Jesus did the day before. Isn't that something? Because they really put all their eggs in Moses' basket. See? And we're going to see here in Jesus' response is what they thought and what they believed was that it was Moses who supplied that manna from heaven. They believed it was Moses because he was Moses. So Jesus Christ says, he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. See? So, what he says here, they believed that it was Moses that had given them that bread from heaven. Jesus corrects them and says, no, it was God who gave you bread from heaven. It was God that rained bread from heaven. And what he's saying now is that I am the true bread. And as we see in this record, he's going to come back to this manna. And we'll see, you know, a little bit of the differences between the two. That manna was a great miracle. It rained bread from heaven and it fed them for 40 years. It came down every day. They had to collect it every day. But Jesus Christ is the true bread. He's the true bread from heaven. And the life that he brings isn't to sustain physical life for a period of time. It is to give eternal life to not just Israel, to the world. See? He is the true bread. Verse 34, and they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." See? They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." But they didn't really understand, and we'll see as we go on the record. You know what they heard? Very possibly what they were hearing was, wow, this bread will never rot. this bread will never go bad. I want that bread. See? They just didn't understand yet. This isn't too dissimilar from the woman at the well. Sir, give me this living water. You know, are you greater than our father Jacob? Yes, he was. This well is deep. This water you're talking about, give me some of that. See? And then Jesus Christ further instructs you, the water that I give will spring up into eternal life. He was speaking of himself. And in this record here, we're going to see this bread of life, which is for eternal life, is himself. He's the true bread from heaven. Jesus is what satisfies spiritual hunger, and it's the hunger that gnaws at every man. It's by feeding on him that we not only receive eternal life, but by continually feeding on him, we will spiritually grow and be sustained in our walk. It is a feeding on Jesus Christ. We partake of this bread for eternal life, and we'll see a little bit more about that. But continuing to feed on Christ sustains our spiritual life. See? This is similar to something that Jesus taught in John chapter 15. And I'm just going to read a couple verses to you from there. It says, and this is Jesus as the vine. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And to abide in is to take up residence in. It's to stay in. Not in and out, in and out, in and out. To stay in. To abide in. You move in. You're not visiting. If that helps. I am the vine, referring to himself. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. There's a great truth here. And it should be a great comfort. And it teaches a little bit more about what it is to be in Christ. And if you notice, it says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. All being collective. All. The group. Okay? It's not unlike what he says in another place. When I am lifted up, I will draw all unto me. I will draw all men unto me. But then it says, and whoever, that's individual, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. See? He was crucified for who? For me. He was crucified for all of us, but he was crucified for me personally. See, I'm called personally. I am in Christ. In John 10, he puts it this way. He says, all that the Father have given me, none will pluck them out of my hand. He will never, ever let us go. Once we believe on Christ, he will never, ever, ever let us go. Isn't that something? Verse 38 then says, "For I have come down from heaven." He says this a number of times in this record, "I have come down from heaven," again, from God as a gift. "Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." He talked about this in the previous chapter in John 5. Marvel not at this, but the day is coming when all of those who are in the grave will hear my voice. Then it says in verse 31, "So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" And this is, you know, it's interesting that it uses this phrase, because it really harkens back to the record of God giving them the manna, where they grumbled and complained. See? And God gave them the manna from heaven. And even after he gave them, you know, they have sort of a revisionist view of history here. But the truth is, when God gave them the manna initially, he said, "You go out and gather according to need. You gather no more. And then on Friday, gather twice what you need, because it's not going to be there Saturday on the Sabbath." So you know what they did? They went out and gathered more than they needed. They brought it in their tents. They hoarded. And it stank and rot. It was no good the next day. And then you know what they did on the Sabbath? A bunch of them went out looking for manna. You know, at that point, God says to Moses, "When are they going to believe me? When are they going to believe me?" You know, so we look at that and we think, oh my, how could they have blown it? Maybe we shouldn't quite look at it that way. I think there are many times in all of our lives where God could say, "When are you going to believe me?" So they said in verse 42, "Is not this Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" How does he say that? You know, this is an example of misunderstanding Scripture. They thought that the Messiah would come in the clouds with power. They thought he would come as a conqueror. And the Word does reveal those things. But it also reveals, for instance, in Micah chapter 5, he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He will grow up before him as a tender plant, it says in Isaiah. See. But because they believed what they believed, which was wrong, they had a hard time reconciling this, because this Jesus had grown up among them. And now he says he came down from heaven. I wrote down here. You know, it's just is so true. How that, again, how Israel had grumbled when they received the manna and complained among themselves. And I thought about this, how that the flesh really is an expert complainer. It's an expert complainer. The flesh is a seeker of things to be unthankful for. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Now, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they what? They died. It was temporary. It was wonderful, but it was temporary. It was a miracle, but it was temporary. And what Jesus Christ is offering is eternal. It's about eternity. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Okay. This eat of this bread is believing, just as looking on him is believing. We'll see in a few minutes, whoever eats this bread and drinks this, it's believing. It's believing on him. And he's speaking in figurative language, and it really echoes sacrificial language. So again, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See? They totally missed it. He's speaking of sacrifice. He's speaking of giving himself for you. I'm giving me. I am the bread of life. I am giving me so that you can have eternal life. That's the simple truth of what is being related. It is the simple truth of what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. He gave himself so that you could have eternal life. Should we not owe him some allegiance for that? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. See? In these verses, he equates believing with coming to him, with looking on him, and with eating this bread and drinking this blood, all of that is equated with believing. It is to partake in Christ. It's to partake in his sacrifice. And we in communion do this representing our partaking in his accomplishments. Our partaking in his sacrifice. Isn't that something? And we do it until he returns to gather us together. See? Then in verse 57 it says, As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is stated another way in other parts of the scripture. No one can come unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" They weren't understanding it. They just weren't understanding what he was teaching. He's trying to raise them up, but they weren't quite getting it. And you know, and we're going to see their reaction. They walk away because they didn't understand it. Was Jesus Christ speaking the truth? Was he?
Yes.
Do you understand it? Do you understand it? Yes. I hope so. But because they didn't understand it, what did they do? They walk away. You know, and there are going to be times where we don't understand some certain things. But I do know God's faithful. And there are times in my life, there have been times in my life, and I'm sure there have been some times in your life, where things have come up and you just don't understand it. You know, and you ask the why, and you ask the this, and you ask the that. And I just don't know, but I know God's faithful. Sometimes that's all you got, is God is faithful. And I bring this up because we live in a fallen world. And life isn't always easy. And it's not always going to be easy. But God is faithful. And nobody is going to pluck us out of his hand. Nobody. So if the worst thing that happens, and I fall asleep today, you know, Deb might ask why. I understand that. But I'm not going to get plucked out of his hand. He's faithful. Do you understand? And back to what we opened with, he doesn't want any man to perish. So these things continue. But we have a life where we have a Christ to feed on. We have a word that we can stand on. And sometimes we don't always understand it, but what we do understand, we can rejoice in. And then as we continue going to the Word, we continue feeding, we begin to understand more of it. It's so awesome what we've been called to. So, some of his disciples said, it's a hard saying. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this?" Verse 62, "Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are what? They're spirit and life." But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Isn't that something? So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And I just love this. Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, where do we go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, Peter didn't always understand things either. But he knew this much. Where am I going? Where am I going to go? I know you're the Messiah. I know you're the one who was sent. See? Isn't that something? I'm not going anywhere. And eventually Peter did get the understanding, didn't he? See? There's a great lesson in that for us. That's right. We've just considered bread of life. But in the Gospel of John, and we've considered some of these, Jesus Christ refers to himself, which we considered last week. He considers himself, or he referred to himself as the light of the world. In another place, he refers to himself as the gate. He is the gate into the sheepfold. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Into that sheepfold. It's like fellowship, security in that. He's the gate. Jim handled some things regarding when he referred to himself as the good shepherd. And that good shepherd, it's a picture of leading, feeding, caring for his people. He refers to himself in another place in John as the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. You think about that. Direction. Purpose. Where am I headed? What is this? What is this about? Why am I alive? What's important? What's my priorities? See? The answer is Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. We just read a few moments ago where he refers to himself as the true vine. He is our source for bearing fruit in life. Jesus Christ is the source. He's the vine. And here, we've read how that he is the bread of life. He's our food. He's our sustenance. He's our life. And he also, in the Gospel of John, refers to himself as the resurrection and the life. Which we're going to look at, I think, next week. But all of these things Jesus Christ is. And you stop and think about this. When I think about this honestly, it really helps me to set my priorities. See? The world is constantly knocking at the door, telling you what it says is important, what it says you need, what it says should be your security, what it says you should identify with, what it defines as success or as worth. But, you know, when I think about those things, I think about what God said to Moses. When are they going to believe me? Because that day is coming, you know, where we're going to be raised if the gathering doesn't happen during our lifetimes. But we are going to be gathered, and we are going to have eternal life. And we're going to know God, and we're going to know His Son, Jesus Christ, like we just get glimpses of now. Those things are true. So, He is the bread of life. Say amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to pray. Well, Father, thank You for Your word, and thank You, Father, for the great grace and mercy that You've displayed in the giving of Your Son, and the great grace and mercy that You constantly bathe us in, Father, as we endeavor to walk with You and grow in these things. Help us to understand. Help us to walk. Help us, Father, to make these things our priority. And help us, Father, to live for You rather than for ourselves. Thank You, Father, for these things, for Your great love to each one of us, how You've called each one of us. Thank You, Father, for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.